Welcome to the Share Hope, Bring Love podcast, where we bring you stories that illuminate the power of God's hope and love, even in the darkest of places. I'm your host, Rochelle Starr.
And I'm Rachel Hunter, your co-host. Together, we'll explore incredible life-changing stories and the impact of gospel outreach, Christian community, and discipleship.
In each episode, we explore narratives that not only uplift, but also offer insights into how hope and love can transform lives. We believe that these stories have the power to touch hearts and inspire action.
So whether you're seeking to be inspired or to learn, this podcast will be a reminder of the light that exists in the world. You're in the right place. We're here to share, uplift, and connect one story at a time.
Welcome to the show, Share Hope, Bring Love. Let's go. Rachel, I am so excited that we are finally putting together our first podcast. Isn't this exciting?
It is. We've been talking about this for a very long time.
I mean, it's just really cool to be able to share stories that God has like done in the ministry and allow other people to be inspired and hopefully inspire them to action to share hope and bring love. I love this. This is going to be fun.
It will be super fun.
So I think this first episode, we'll start out with like, how did Scarlet Hope start? How did Scarlet Hope even come to be? Because I think one of the things that I've been thinking about is I always have a story from like last Thursday night. And we do have some really fun stories from this past Thursday night that we're going to share. So you should stay tuned in this episode because we're going to get to those in the back.
But what a teaser.
A little teaser. But I want to go back and just start, especially if this is anyone new listening, about how did we even start going to strip clubs? What was that like? And what was the first time like? And then I want to hear all about your first time going with us as a team member. And we hope to just really inspire people with this.
Let's get started.
Okay, let's go. So I remember it was a little bit before 2007 when I started praying that the Lord would give me a people and a purpose. I just was burdened, like working in the corporate rat race of life, that I wasn't where I was supposed to be. And so I was driving past a Theater X in 2007. It's like right across the bridge, like what, 4 or 5 miles from here. And I was driving past it and I heard the Holy Spirit really gently say to me that I'm sending you there to share my hope and my love. But honestly, like I didn't even have a clue what that place was. In 2007, like the human trafficking or anti-trafficking movement wasn't even a thing. Nobody was really talking about it. I think it was just starting to come sort of onto the social justice scene, really, but nobody really understood it. Christians were certainly not talking about exploitation and trafficking. And so when the Lord laid that on my heart, I immediately called my husband and I said, Jesus has called me to go to women in the sex industry to share his hope and love. And Joshua was like, that's exactly what Jesus would do, which all through the years, most people are like, he said that? That's so weird. But I think just growing up as pastor's kids and loving the Lord and understanding the gospel, it meant to go to hard places that most people kind of didn't want to go to. So that Theater X wasn't actually the first place that we went because I had learned that it was a truck stop with a peep show where they showed videos and people would stop there on their way through town. But then I started uncovering that Louisville was the fifth largest sex industry per capita in 2007 for the sex industry. And that meant we had almost nearly as many strip clubs in Louisville, Kentucky as Las Vegas. And everybody thinks like that, oh, that happens over there. We don't have that in our backyard. But what I started discovering was that we did. So my best friend and I, Sarah, we started doing prayer drives around the city and around all the strip clubs, and we identified them all, and we started going and praying and fasting outside of them. And then, after about 18 months, I had read Francis Chan's book, Crazy Love, and the first two words in his book are, stop praying. I just want to say, like, right here, is that sometimes when we want God to use us, we want all of the pieces of the puzzle. We want to, like, have the beginning and the end, and oftentimes he doesn't do that. He just wants us to listen, obey, but also then at some point you have to like go, right? So that was my moment where he was like, okay, I've already given you who you're supposed to go to. I've already showed you where to go. Now it's like time to go. And so that was on a Sunday night. We committed to praying and fasting from Sunday to Tuesday and asking the Lord, like, what club do you want to open the door to? Because there were 27 of them in Louisville. Like, where were we going to go? And the Lord laid one particular club on our hearts. And that is the club that we first walked into. So the interesting part is I had never been in a strip club before. And so I didn't know what to expect. I had done some research and I knew I would have to potentially pay to go in the door. And so we did. We paid $10. I will say it's the best $10 investment I've ever made in my life. But we all paid $10 and we walked in the door. And Rachel, I remember, and I think you've served at this club too, but I remember very explicitly it being extremely dark. The walls were all painted black with, like, you know, pornographic, like, pictures on the walls, and just hallways, narrow doorways. And we were immediately escorted over to one side of the bar where you could drink. In 2008, the clubs in Louisville were separated into the side that you could have full nudity and no alcohol, and then the sides that were you could drink, but the women were clothed a little more. And so that was a rule and a law at that time. And so we were escorted to the bar side to drink. And of course, like, me and my friends weren't there to drink. So it was kind of awkward, but I was just praying the whole time, like, the Holy Spirit, please open up a way for us to show us what you want to do, open up a way for us to come and serve the women in this place. And we were sitting up at the bar, and the funniest part of the story is we had no makeup on, our hair back, black turtlenecks on, because I did not want anybody to think we were there for a job. And we were sitting at the bar, and I'll never forget this woman. Her name was Shannon. She immediately knew we were out of place. And we ordered a Sprite, Dr. Pepper, Coke, whatever. And she was like, what are you guys doing here? And I said, the only thing that could come out of my mouth was, Jesus sent us here to do something kind and loving for the people in this place. Can we bring in a home-cooked meal? And she was like, that is so weird. Like, no way. You know, we already have food. Thanks, but we don't need you guys. Well, I just ended up, like, from that moment, asking her more questions. How long have you been here? How are you doing? What, you know, do you have kids? Things like that. Normal conversation. And then I felt like the Holy Spirit was really prompting us to go to the other side of the club, where it was very busy. It was loud music and lots of people. And we were sitting at a high top table. And again, I don't know who's what in the club. I mean, we know now, like, we minister to bouncers now and general managers. But at the time, I was just thinking about the women. I didn't know all of these employees that work there and everything. And so I'm sitting there and I'm listening to my friend Sarah talk to me and tell stories, trying to act comfortable, which was really awkward. And women were even coming up to us saying, like, do you want a lap dance, or do you want to, like, do you want something here? And we would just talk to them. We were like, no, we're not here for that. We're here because God loves you and we wanted to tell you that, blah, blah, blah. And so about, I don't know, 5-10 minutes, we're sitting there and she's talking, and I just felt the Holy Spirit say, go over to this man and tell him what you're here for. So I walk right over to this man. I never had met him in my life. And I hold out my hand. I shake his hand. I said, my name's Rochelle. I'm not here to get a job. I'm here because Jesus sent me here to do something kind and loving for the people in this place. And you guys should have seen his face. Like, number one, he was in, and I didn't know this at the time, but he had only experienced Christians outside of the club. He had never experienced a Christian inside the club. And so he was like, what's the catch? And I was like praying, Holy Spirit, hurry up and tell me what to do. And the Holy Spirit was like, there's no catch. Like, there's no catch. We just want to share Christ's love. And you know this now, and we say this a lot. It's like, our job is not to get the women out of the clubs. Our job is to introduce them to Jesus. And that night, God made it very clear what we were supposed to do, what we were supposed to say. And the general manager of the club said, sure, come on in. When do you want to come? And 2 days later, we showed up with our first home-cooked meal. Isn't that amazing?
It is amazing. So many questions. Like, I've heard this story so many times, but I think
The first thing that came to my mind was like, you know, you're so excited. You go and tell Josh, your husband, like, you know, a great news. And he tells you such an amazing answer, right? Like, he doesn't say anything judgmental. He's just like, that's exactly what Jesus would do. But I'm sure along the way, as you were telling people, like, this new calling God had for you, you got, like, a mixed bag of, like, good responses and bad responses. So as we're, like, walking with our own friends who were discerning God's call in their life, and they're telling us this good news, what's something really helpful that someone told you and maybe something that wasn't so helpful?
That's a great question. Well, everybody thought I was crazy, that's for sure, outside of my husband. I mean, yes. He does think I'm crazy too, but once you get to know me, who doesn't? But I think the most helpful thing was there was a pastor at our church Chris Harper, and I remember telling him, and he was like, dude, that's the dopest thing I've ever heard. Like, that's exactly what the Lord would want us to do. Well, that's helpful because, you know, when you think you're this crazy person, like, experiencing this call from God that's very different, and that the world or Christian world's like, you're going to become like them, and you shouldn't go to them, they should come to us, like, all these things, to hear that is what really lights fires, right? And so I heard that throughout multiple people that I would tell what I was doing. I think the most unhelpful thing is, like, when I would tell somebody what God was doing, I actually lost several friends over the calling. Several of my friends would say, didn't want to associate with me because they thought that I was going to become like them, or that I was really, truly, like, out of my mind. Years later, they wrote me apology letters and we're now friends. But, like, you know, it is crazy doing something like this, you know, and that's what I love about the gospel, is that even Jesus coming to earth is crazy. Like, why would he leave his, like, throne and come to us, you know? So the gospel calls you to do absolutely crazy things. And some things, some people are going to be helpful and some people are not going to be helpful, but you have to discern through all of that.
Yeah. When you were talking about, you know, you didn't know exactly where you're going, you didn't have all the plans, you're just kind of like going, like, stop praying, it's time to go. You get there, you don't even know where to go in this space, right? Like, all these things. And someone once described to me, like, the Christian journey, the difference between Noah and Abraham, right? So Noah, God came and said, like, you're going to build this ark exactly like this. Mm. Like, here's the blueprints, then the rain's going to come. He knew exactly what to expect. Yeah. And we all as Christians want God's calling on us to look like that blueprint. But oftentimes it's more like Abraham, right? He's just like, start walking.
Yeah.
And you don't know where you're going. Was there ever a point in your journey, I mean, it's been, what, 16 years, 17 yeah. years, where you were suddenly like, I know where I'm going? Or has it constantly been this, like, continual just next step?
Yeah, I mean, I think you don't ever know where you're going. You pray and plan your steps, and the Lord always has other plans. And one of the things, though, about Scarlet Hope in general is that, first of all, I didn't even have a plan to start a nonprofit organization, right? I actually was fairly against that in the beginning. That's a story for another day. But God is in the business of saving lives, and that looks very different for every person. So what I had started out thinking this would look like and where we're at today, I mean, Rachel, you're the metric girl in our ministry. Like, we've served over 1 million meals. Like, that very first meal that we served in the club, I would never in 1 million years would have thought that we would have served at this point over 1 million meals. And so I just think that you have to hold those plans loosely, listen to the Holy Spirit, constantly be asking God to redirect your steps or to direct them, and obeying in that. What was it like when you were first coming into the clubs with us? I mean, you joined us like 7 years ago.
Yeah. It's been almost 8 years of going to the clubs.
So fun.
It's a long time. Yeah, so I don't think I even remember not thinking that I was going to the clubs that night. I think I thought I was coming on prayer team or something, and I show up, and Courtney, the outreach director at the time, was like, you ready to go? I was like, okay, here we go. And so I get in the car with the girl, Christy, who's going to, like, train me as we went. And she just starts sharing with me what to expect, like the dynamic of the space that we're going to, who I was going to talk to, like all these things. And I'm like, okay, like, I can do this. And I feel like I can talk with pretty much anyone. So I'm like, all right, what are some good questions I can ask? I'm like getting amped up to go. And so I remember pulling into the club parking lot, and we prayed in the car before we went in. And we have these big red cooler bags that we carry, you know. So
just like, I remember putting the bag on my shoulder with all the food and just being like, all right, Christy, I'll follow you wherever you go. And we walk in, and it turns out that one of the main people who had worked in this club had just quit. And so the dynamic that night was like really weird. And so we were both just kind of like not sure what to do. And so we went and laid the food out on the table and just started like scooping plates. And I just remember walking up to women and being like, this is crazy. Like, I'm literally just taking a plate of food to a random woman at work, being like, hey, I'm Rachel. Do you want some dinner? Like, such a wild thing. But they were so happy that we were there, which was beautiful, right? Because, like you said, millions of meals, or over a million meals, have been served at this point. And so I got to go in on the tail end of other people's work, which was a really beautiful thing.
Something reminded me of Ruth and Naomi, that there's always like, especially at least what I've seen in ministries, that there's always somebody going and God puts somebody with you. Mm-hmm. Like how you said you were willing to go and follow Christy wherever she was going, right? Because you were going into a dark space that you didn't know. And I think that's what this ministry is doing for Christians, is like, we get to go, whether it's following or leading, we get to help people experience Christ in the darkness, you know? Was that first night for you what you had anticipated, and what actually happened? Like, yeah. was there a serious difference in that?
Even trying to conceptualize what I was going to experience, I didn't know. I had never gone to strip club on my own before. I had previously like gone out with friends. And so I think in my mind, I'd compartmentalized some different things. And so I remember walking in and talking to this one particular woman. And as I started talking to her, I was like, man, this is no different than one of my friends. Like, it went from being this like daunting statistic or even a foreign story to a woman that I was friends with. And so immediately it kind of changed what I was expecting, because I think I was expecting this compartmentalization, this indifference between myself and them, when in reality there were immediate commonalities. Yeah. And I think seeing the brokenness of like, man, there are things that I want that God created us to want: community, family, connection, food, safety, shelter, like all these basic needs. We all were created with good God-given desires for them. And I sometimes meet those needs in broken ways, but it's like cleaned up and acceptable to Christians. But the women in the clubs are seeking those same needs being met, just in a much more broken way. Mm-hmm. But my broken is no less broken than theirs. And so all of a sudden leveling out and being like, man, they need and want the same things as me, really changed the way that I experienced the clubs.
Yeah, that's so good. I'm glad you said that, because I think that's even all of these years later, as acceptable as the ministry is to a degree. And, you know, anti-human trafficking efforts are really all over the world now. I still think that there's parts of people that we put people's sin in different categories, or we look at our cleaned up brokenness versus someone whose brokenness is very outwardly and like you can see it differently. We put those in different categories, but really at the foot of the cross, we're all the same. And once we understand that, and we understand that my sin put Jesus on the cross just like their sin, you can love anyone, anywhere, anytime.
Yeah.
And it can change the world. And that's the thing that I think the gospel really has. I've seen where Christians come into the ministry, they're excited, they're compelled, they're inspired, but they have no idea, like even myself, that it's going to change their life, you know? So I have another follow-up question for you.
Yes.
How, over the last 7 years, has it changed your walk with the Lord?
There's so many things that change over time. And as you step into this world of working with women in the industry, you see a lot of sadness and sorrow. I think the industry creates a huge facade. It presents a beautiful picture of, yeah, fulfillment, of joy, of happiness, of money, of like glitz and glam. But at its core, I feel like it's actually taking people's souls, like the women, the men, everyone involved. And so as you step into serving with Scarlet Hope, as I did, I just saw more and more of that like soul-sucking lifestyle. And I was choosing to step into that brokenness with people. And you can't step into that and not have to grapple with your view of God a little bit and say, you know, what is God doing in this? How is he allowing this? Why am I seeing this? All of those things. And through that, though, I think you see Jesus a lot more brightly. Like the cliche, in the darkness, the light shines brighter. We go to these like physically and spiritually dark places, But when God moves, it just shines so brightly because it's so different. And so I think I've changed just in seeing God work and understanding, once again, all of our needs. My needs no different. And just as much as I see their needs so tangibly, I have to see my own need just as deeply. And it's been amazing.
Yeah, that's awesome. This is all super exciting. This is obviously, we're new to the podcast world. Right. I know we're a little late to the game, but it's totally fine.
Just like a decade, it's fine.
Hey, better late than never. But you know what? I think the most exciting thing is like when we're going to share a story. So does any story come to mind recently? And then, you know, I always want to end with like, what happened last week? Because God does stuff every single week. It's not just 16 years ago. It's literally every Thursday. Teams all across the U.S. are going into the clubs and God is working. And it's so cool. And so we get to share that with you at the end of this episode. But
and I'm really excited because Rochelle and I go to the same club.
Yes.
And we've been going for years and I didn't go on Thursday. So I'm really excited to hear what happened last night in the club.
It's going to be so fun. Yeah. So what story do you have or can you think of that is really touched your world?
Yeah.
Touched your heart?
Man. So in that first club that I went to that I described earlier, one of the first people I met was the bouncer and he's awesome. We're from the same place. So we really bonded over football, college football, and our families and like growing up and stuff like that. And the club was very transient. A lot of the women changed frequently, but he was there every week. And so every Thursday after I served up food to everyone, we'd go sit at the bar together and chat while we waited for women to be ready to talk. And we, you know, every Thursday for a year we chatted. And after that year, though, we were asked not to come back to that club any longer. And I had not talked to him in years. Well, a couple weeks ago, I was walking to the club that I'm currently serving in, and he was at the door. And I was like, oh, it's you. And he's like, it's you. And we had this, like, sweet moment. But fast forward, like, 2 weeks, and we were going in, and I got to stay in and talk with him for a long time. And I think, like, this ministry can be so hard because you plant seeds and don't get to see it come to fruition. And I never thought I'd see him again. But also, like, he's still working in a club, you know, 8 years later, you know, what's going on. But as he started talking and just sharing his life and his story and what's changed since then, I got to see what God had been doing in his life, even over those 7 years. And it was a really sweet reminder of God's faithfulness. Even when we're not there, he's still working. And so it's really, really cool.
Yeah. And you're a great time talking about football and all that. He's always like, is Rachel there? Whenever I see him at the club and we go up there. But that like reminds me, like the bouncers are our mission field too, and the general anybody that is in the industry is so important to remember, like that it is the women that we are called to serve, but it is also anyone that we come into contact with. And so I love that. You know, last Thursday, it's so profound what God's doing in this club because I've been in this club for 9 years, pretty much every week that that I'm in town. And I've gotten to see people have babies that now have 9-year-olds that have 3 kids, 4 kids. Like, I've gotten to grow with these people. And one of the coolest parts last Thursday was there are just some women that are ready to truly start changing their lives. And it's a process. It is completely a process. But I think one of the things that I just love so much is that they're so curious about Christianity. And so we opened up the Bible. One of the girls is really struggling with her own identity and her, who she is, but she was raised in a Christian home. And so she started talking to me about that. And she started talking to me about like, no matter what happens in her life, she knows she has the Lord and all of the abuse and the trauma that she's experienced, that she always goes back to God. And so we were sitting there talking about that. And she said she had started researching other religions. And I actually had an apologetics Bible in my car. And I was like, this is perfect for her. Mm-hmm. And I asked her if she would like it. And so she literally got her clothes on as fast as humanly possible. We ran downstairs to the back of my car and she opened up this Bible. She was like, this is the prettiest, best Bible I've ever seen. And I was like, well, it's not just pretty. The words are alive. And she was like, I know, because I keep being drawn back to this Bible. And that always like It always moves me because we think that coming to Jesus looks a certain way. We think that it's like the road is somehow like, I don't know, easy, or that we did something to deserve it, or that we did something for our eyes to open, right? But whenever you see like she's almost reminds me of like an innocent child in a way, that God is like pursuing her, and she was brave enough to tell me. Like, I think that's one of the other things is in the club, they don't always open up because they're working, you know, they have the facade that they got to put on or whatever the day has brought. And so that was one story that was really, really cool. And then I just think this is the best thing that God's like, one of the best things he's doing. But the general manager in that club, you know, we've been friends with him just for a couple of years. I mean, it really hasn't been that long. Yeah. But he is showing up at church every week to hear the gospel and to come with us. And so this past Thursday, he was asking me more and more questions about some of the sermons and about what we believe about Jesus, you know, being born of a virgin and all of the questions that, here's what it does, Rachel, okay? I have to know my stuff. Yeah. Like, I can't just go around, well, like, because Jesus said, or because right. The Bible says, like, no, some people need to know that, yeah, we may not have all the answers, but we know where to get the answers. And so looking up scripture and like reading scripture together in the club, like who would have ever thought?
Did you ever think you'd be having sermon discussion in a strip club? Like it's one thing to read the Bible, but like, hey, we went to church together. Let's talk about our sermon.
Yeah.
That's wild.
It's wild. And it's crazy. And that's literally, we serve a crazy, awesome God. And that's what he's doing. Isn't that fun?
It's so fun. And I'm really excited for you to share next time the story of the first time you were in the club, like your first meal served, your first conversation, because I know so much has changed since then, but it's still the same. So I can't wait for you just to share a little bit more.
Yeah, more to come. As we come to the end of today's episode, we hope you've been deeply inspired by the stories we shared. Our mission is to spread the hope and love of Jesus with women in the adult entertainment industry.
If you feel inspired to join the movement and make a difference, we invite you to visit our website at scarlethope.org. Follow us on social media at The Scarlet Hope for updates, or consider joining a local team in your own community.
Together, we can make a world of difference, sharing hope and bringing love to those who need it most. Thank you for listening, and we look forward to having you on our next episode.